Amen. Thank you, Millie, for that. It was wonderful. Thank you, Jason, for leading worship. There he is. He's disappeared again. Thank you for stepping in and leading. I know, again, I say it every time, but you wouldn't want me leading worship, so I'm very thankful for gentlemen in our church that step up and lead with their gifts in that respect. This morning is going to be a little bit different than normal. I've not done this is not even really a sermon. I hate to say that this morning. We are going to go to the scriptures, but we're really going to plan out the vision I think that God has given me for this new year. And this is not some like gimmicky thing that we should put forward, but really this is something that I've been just burdened with for this last year that I've been here with you all and seeing the need in our state, in our city, and then just having a vision for our church. So we're going to go to the scriptures. We will in just a moment, but we're going to focus in this morning really on the approach to doing ministry this next year for our church. So corporately, where we're going and the direction that we're going in. So if you do want a scripture to turn to, we'll get there in just a moment, but it's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, and we're going to go to a few other scriptures as well. If you were able to join us at the Sunday school time a couple of weeks back, we had a large group Sunday school, and we kind of talked about some of these things of why we need to have an initiative. I'm calling it the Hope Initiative, and I'm not all about the catchy terms or anything like that, but I really think this is something that we do need here at our church and even in our own community. Pew Research did some statistical work in the state of Kentucky a couple of years ago, about 2014 actually. They found that 49% of the Commonwealth was evangelical Protestant. So churches like us and similar doctrine to us would be considered in that. Only 49%. And also, they took the measurement of those who had no religious affiliation whatsoever. And that number had risen dramatically over the last 10 or so years, up until the point of 2014, to 22% had no religious affiliation whatsoever. They would be considered agnostic or atheist, as we would probably commonly refer to them, but they have broadly no religious connection whatsoever. 22% of our state. That's staggering, isn't it? It's almost a quarter of our state that has no religious connection whatsoever, let alone gospel-centered Christianity. So this really made me think, and as I was thinking, there's been statistics given even around our own Southern Baptist Convention in this greater Lexington area about the statistics of our churches. And let me tell you, they're not really dazzling. They're really sad, actually, that really the population growth is exploding. Jessamine, Fayette, and Scott counties are the fastest growing counties in the state and have been for the last two decades. This is what I've been told. I've not lived here that long. I've barely been alive that long, you know. So, but this is what we're told. The population growth is continuing, but the church attendance is on a steady decline, and also professions of faith are on a very rapid decline. So this makes us think, okay, what as the church are we doing about these things? This is really what my focus has been in thinking about this for the last year that I have been here in Kentucky. That's why I bring this to you this morning. And I know that God has us here for a reason. This church has been here since 1785, which is a few years, and it's weathered a lot of things. It's weathered a lot of storms, and it's weathered a lot of things in the culture that have changed. And God still continues to somehow have us here for a specific reason and purpose. And I believe it's to bring hope to this community, to bring hope to this county, to this area, and even to the ends of the earth. Because our hope is not necessarily in numbers. It's not in baptisms. It's not in how many we have and run on Sunday mornings. It's not in what the political culture looks like. It's not in the way and the health of the churches around us. But ultimately, our hope is in who? It's in Jesus Christ, who can change all things for His own glory and who is making all things new. Revelation chapter 21 does tell us. So this initiative of hope is what I'm calling this, to allow us to go back to the fundamentals of our faith and resolve with one another to be focused on these things, to glorify God and then entrust that God is going to do the work. We are to be faithful where God has called us to be faithful as a church and then allow Him to do the work. An initiative here is simply an act or strategy intended to resolve a difficulty or improve a situation, a fresh approach to something. Now, I'm not saying that we're changing up stuff here, we're not pulling the rugs out under anything, and we're honestly not doing bad ministry here. We're not. But I believe that we can improve these things and give more glory to God in the avenues and ministries of our church, because we all need the hope of Christ, do we not? We all do, even though we're in church and we're in Christ, we need the hope of Christ on a daily basis. And our community desperately needs this, as I have seen only living here about a year and a half. So the goal here is not for us to just become some big and flourishing and trendy church. That's not our goal. Our goal here is ultimately to glorify Christ. It's the reason that this church has lasted this long. For some reason, God has kept us here, and this church continues to glorify Christ. So as we are moving forward and thinking about this Hope Initiative, the goal here for all of us is to become more Christ-like. If we're moving towards Christ, then Christ is going to take care of everything else. When we're obedient to follow the commands of Scripture and obeying Christ, then Christ will use us in a mighty way and bless us in a mighty way to reach our community, to reach our neighbors, to reach our co-workers, to reach our families, even to the ends of the earth. God will use us if we're faithful to be obedient to His Word. Which, again, I'm not saying that we're not, it's just that we need to reiterate this every time we go to the Scriptures, I believe. I need this. If it's not for anybody else, it's for me this morning, because I do need this. So ultimately this morning, we need this because our world is dying and lost, and of course we all do know this, and we as the church have been given the tools and the ability by the Holy Spirit to sing the praises of God. And that's kind of odd, right? That's kind of an odd transition. You think, okay, you're talking about lostness, and then you talk about singing the praises of God. But if you go back to the beginning, back in Genesis chapter 1, it's written in poetry in the Hebrew, you see that it is really about all of creation singing the praises of God. In fact, that's kind of the terminology behind when God says and God saw that it was good. That's that poetry. That's that refrain in Genesis chapter 1. You're probably familiar with that. And God saw that it was good. That's the creation singing the praises of God, that God, out of His great love and communion and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, out of Himself has given to creation so that creation can sing the praises of God. Now, we have to honestly look around and we say, yes, creation does sing the beauty of God. Even in this sanctuary, we see that. There's beauty here. There's beauty outside. There's beauty in each and every one of us as individuals made in God's image. But we know that sin has really marred this, hasn't it? It's really marred this image, this singing praises to God. It's marred this. But God, in His great mercy and His love for us, wants us to continue singing the praises of God, doesn't He? So what has He done? He sent Himself, hasn't He, into flesh and blood, just like we've studied throughout the Advent season, in the person and work of Jesus Christ, so that we can now, as new creatures in the kingdom of God, sing His praises to a lost and dying world. That's why we're here. That's why we're here, to sing the praises of God. Now, this does literally come through singing with our mouths, just like we did this morning, but it's a lifestyle of worship towards God. And the way that this happens, and the way that God has intended this to happen, is inside of the local church. For us to sing as a body and a group of believers, it's to take place and flourish inside of the local church. It's, again, that little piece of heaven, though imperfect, here on the earth. So that we gather under Christ Jesus, as He is our King and we are part of His kingdom, as members adopted into His family, now sing His praises. But sometimes, like we've talked about, that churches can be a very difficult place for this to happen. I've been to churches where you don't want to sing about anything, right? No one hardly even talks to you. No one hardly even is involved in doing any kind of ministry, let alone praising the Lord. That's why we here are striving together to put ourselves aside and say, hey, it's for the good of my brothers and sisters. It's not about me right now. Hey, it's for the good of my community. It's not about me right now. Hey, it's about the good of the world. It's not about me right now. That's why we at this church have a covenant relationship with one another. We say, hey, when I join this church, it's not about me. It's for the good of the body. It's for me to lower myself, realize that this is how God is going to grow me in Christ's likeness. We put ourselves aside and we covenant together, which literally means that we are saying for better or for worse. You guys remember saying that? For better or for worse. I am joining with this body, this imperfect body of believers, in order that Christ Jesus might refine me and grow me into Christ likeness, and where I can be most utilized so that I can reach this community and my family and this world for the gospel, for the glory of God. So the church is where this transition will happen. The church is where Christ's likeness will grow. So where do we need to focus this morning? On the church, on us. We are the body, the church, the individual members of the body. And the three ways that I believe that we can grow in this hope initiative that I can see for this church in this year is to grow in these three areas, to develop these in all types of ministries. Now, that's not to say, let me give a little caveat here. It's not to say that one is better than the other here. We're going to talk about worship, we're going to talk about Christian nurture, and we're going to talk about witness. It's not to say one is more important than the other, but these are the three mandates that we as Christians are supposed to do. So if we're doing these things, God's going to get the glory, and he's going to use us in our families and communities and around the world. So let's jump in here and first start with worship. How we're supposed to grow in Christ's likeness, we're supposed to devote ourselves to worship. Peter writes this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. This would be the time where you can look at your Bibles, because this is the verse I told you to go to. So this is what he says here, speaking to these early believers and to us today. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, God says this, "But you were you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light." Amen. That's us, isn't it? That we are a chosen group of people that God has seen fit to call out of darkness. You remember that? Call you out of darkness and into marvelous light in order that you might do what? As a new Christian, as an old Christian, as a middle-aged Christian, what are you to be doing? Shining the light, right? Proclaiming the excellencies of Christ. So how do we do this as a church? Through worship. That's why it's so essential on Sunday mornings that we commit to coming to worship the Lord. If you're going to grow in Christ's likeness, you cannot do that sitting at home laying in your bed. Now you can, but it's not going to be as effective as coming to a body and worshiping together, glorifying Christ together. This is what we were made to do. That's why the New Testament references the church so many times. It's calling us to worship as a corporate body. Do not stop gathering together, Hebrews chapter 10 tells us. Don't stop gathering together, but join together to worship God. And we do this. We do this on Sunday mornings, if you're aware of that, because you're in it right now, right? We do this. We come together. We sing praises to God, because worship at the end is not about us. It's not about us. It's about God. It's singing praises. God, this is what you have done. You are amazing. You have done these things. We pray. We come and humble ourselves and ask God to forgive us of our sins. We praise his name. We're thankful. We pray for those who are sick and needy. We come together believing that this is an act of worship in itself. We give. We generously give because, again, when we join this fellowship, it's not about us anymore. We give generously. Why? Because Christ Jesus has given himself generously to us in salvation. So we give generously of our monies as a form of worship. And we come to the preaching of the word where I believe God speaks through to us through his Holy Spirit, where he opens up our eyes. Where all of this is a part of worship. And this has to be central in our lives if we're going to grow in Christ's likeness. Now there's a football coach that's not at Kentucky, but is in a state called Georgia. His name is Kirby Smart, and he says this a lot. He said this a lot last year. He says it probably a lot this year, too. He says, you got to keep the main thing the main thing. You guys ever heard that? You got to keep the main thing the main thing. And I thought that was so fitting. He was, of course, talking about football and the fundamentals, but it's so fitting for the church, isn't it? When we lose sight of worshiping God on Sunday mornings, when we lose sight of worshiping God in our lives, then everything just kind of falls apart, doesn't it? So we got to keep the main thing the main thing, keeping God central and noting that worship is all about him. So as we move forward on Sunday mornings, we're going to be striving to keep God at the center of all that we do. That it's not about us here. It's not about me. It's not about Gordon or Jason or Millie or anybody that's up here up front. It's not about us. It's ultimately about glorifying God. And this also happens in our homes when we're continuing to worship God as we sit at our kitchen tables and study our Bibles. When we spend time in prayer, maybe with a spouse or a loved one or a person on the phone, this is worship to God. This is when you're singing songs of praise in the car, right? Okay, apparently no one here does that. I do. But it's worshiping God, right? It's giving of ourselves to worship God, even through an attitude of generosity for someone who needs it that you come across. This is that personal worship that we are to be engaged in and that we are going to encourage here throughout this year. Again, it's not that we've not been doing this. It's that we need to make this known that this is who we are as Great Crossing Baptist Church. This also brings us to a point in moving forward that I'm going to be stepping out here because I believe that the Lord has laid this upon my heart to do, but to teaching about God. So starting next Sunday, we're just going to start teaching theology. Now, that's like a, wait a minute here to most people. But everybody's a theologian. Did you know that? Everybody has a thought of theology and who God is. That's simply what it means. Everybody does that. But sometimes what we think God is and what the Bible says God is, don't line up. So we need to come back to the Scriptures and say, this is who God has revealed Himself to be, and we need to align our lives with that. And again, if that's not for anybody else, it will be for my own spirit and soul that we need to align ourselves with Christ. So we're going to start that next week in glorifying God, singing praises to God, giving our gifts, giving prayer to God, and thanking Him for who He is. So that's one way that you'll see that worship will be engaging each and every one of us on that level of glorifying God and who He is. Well, secondly here, we're going to develop in this hope, in this Christ-likeness that we have in Christian nurture. And nurture simply just means to feed or protect young offspring. Doesn't have to be young offspring, but typically that's where it is, right? We do this with children or with little plants. We nurture them, we grow them, we feed them. And the mandate of the church in the New Testament is not that we should just be this Lone Ranger Christianity, but that we should be nurturing together. So go with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 through 16. Christian nurture is going to be focusing on the Christian maturing in their faith. So that would be you and me growing from our immaturity to maturity in Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. I'm going to read 11 through 16. God's word tells us this. And He gave the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Until we all attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and evil, deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint, with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. That's the mandate for us as believers, isn't it? That we should be growing from our immaturity, and that's taking some awareness on our part to realize that we are in a state of immaturity. We might have been in church all of our lives, but we still might be in a spiritually immature state. To realize that, to confess that, Lord, I don't know it all. I need to be here. I need to be involved in order that I might grow. Because we are to do the work of ministry. It's not the hired professional that stands up front. It is to do the work of ministry together, isn't it? That it is my position, called here by God, to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. Verse 12 tells us that. And so that we might grow together in the unity of the faith. To mature manhood, not tossed around, to be no longer children. You see those phrases in there. We are to mature in our faith. And where are we to do this? Inside of the local church. This is why it's so important. So we are not to neglect our own health for the sake of those who are out there. We're supposed to minister to those too, but we cannot forsake the health of the body. So we must be encouraging one another to be involved in areas where we can be vulnerable, where we can share our hurts, and our struggles, and our pains, and our problems. This is the place that we should do that. Yet too often, the church is not the place where we want to share those things. We've been stabbed in the back. We've been made fun of, we've been judged, we've been outcast, and you don't want to share anything because that's happened in church. But I pray by the grace of God, we can move forward in being vulnerable here and say, I am immature in this. I am struggling with this. I am hurting here. This is the sin that I'm fighting against. Would you come alongside me as a brother or sister in Christ and let's fight this thing together? That's what the church is supposed to be. That's why we have Sunday school in small groups, so that we can grow in maturity, so that we can be open and vulnerable. And notice what all this is doing. It's growing us in Christ-likeness. It's us being humble enough to say, I don't have it all together. I'm not a perfect person. My outside might look like that, but I'm really not. I'm really struggling right now. I'm really fighting this sin right now. So when we do those things, God is enabling us through His Word, then, if we're going back to it, to be brought up into maturity, to grow and be moving on from children into mature manhood. So as you grow and be a part of the church this next year, I pray that you will make a commitment to this. Make a commitment to come to Sunday school. Make a commitment to come to a small group. Make a commitment to join things like the WMU and the ministry that happens here with the children and with the youth. Make commitments to these things in order that you might grow in maturity, that you might use your gifts, and by using your gifts, God is going to grow you in your Christ-likeness. So we need the nurture of one another. Do you realize this? You need it, and I need it. We need this body to be a part of in order that we might grow in Christ-likeness. And honestly, if we're not doing this here, then why on earth would you invite somebody that does not know Christ into this? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. If we're supposed to be the body of Christ and something different from the world, why would you go and bring someone that's experienced that outside of the church and bring them in and see no difference? So we must be this kind of body. Again, we're not perfect in this, and we're going to have struggles and immaturities, of course, but we're striving towards Christ-likeness in order that we might, thirdly here, be the witness that we are called to be. So we are worshiping, we're growing in Christian nurture, and we are witnessing as Christ has commanded us to. So Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, a famous verse, a couple of verses for us, known as the Great Commission. God in His Word has given us this as a mandate for us not to sit on our hands, but to go, to be involved in sharing the gospel with those who do not know Him. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20 says this, and God does tell us. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So what is Jesus calling the believers to do? To go. He's not saying just stay here, just focus on worship, just focus on Christian nurture. But these things all have to be working simultaneously. This is how we glorify God as a church. This is how we will transform and how God will receive the most glory from us. And therefore, the world will see this type of community that is different. But we have to go and proclaim it, don't we? That God's not saving people by everybody being a good moral person. The gospel has to be proclaimed. And let's just be honest for a minute. This is probably the hardest thing for believers to do. All this other stuff, oh, I can come to Sunday morning. I can give some money, right? I can join a Bible study. But you're going to ask me to go share my faith with my crazy aunt or my neighbor or my coworker? That's a little bit outside of my comfort zone. And it is. And I'll stand right there with you and say, this does make me absolutely uncomfortable, more than likely. It does. But nevertheless, we find this command from God that He is, in fact, right here with us, always, never leaving us or forsaking us. And notice that He has all the authority and power. So ultimately, I think a lot of our fears, and there's lots of different avenues of why we have fear in sharing our faith, but a lot of it is the weight, I think, that has been put on us by curriculum over the last, say, 40 years or so, that says you're the person that's basically going to save that person's soul. Rather than saying, all authority has been given unto me, therefore I send you out, and I'm going to always be with you. That's saying, ultimately, God is saving souls, isn't He? That you just have to be faithful to go. You don't know how that conversation's going to end. You don't know how it's going to go, but you have to be faithful to go. and to share and to tell. And when they come to faith, baptize them, make this public pronouncement of their faith in Christ Jesus, and then set them in this role of being nurtured as a Christian, right? Teaching them to observe all I've commanded you, because Christ is with you. This is the command of Christ for us to go and to do. Now, this is where we are going to probably need to grow the most in our church, because it is a struggle. It is a fear. We're all going to meet different kinds of people, but the more I see in my short time in ministry, it's a whole lot less about an event. It's a whole lot less about a certain curriculum. It's more on building a relationship with a person that does not know the Lord. So it is a labor of love that's sometimes going to take a long time. And some of you know that. Some of you have been that person that it took a long time to come to know the Lord. This might be something that is like a Paul on the Damascus Road type of experience where it's boom, I came to Christ, I gave my life to Christ, my life is completely changed. And for others of you, it might be in that witnessing process something that takes years where you just simply sit down and have coffee with that person, share the love of Christ, share what Christ is doing in your life, reading the Bible, studying the Bible, explaining the Bible. These things take a long time. And sometimes we put so many numbers on things, pushing professions, pushing baptisms, pushing all of these things, that people are making false conversions. And that's where we get back to the original context of those statistics of downward people leaving the church. Well, there's a lot of people in the churches that have never actually been saved. So if we go back here and say, hey, this is going to take a long time, we need to be faithful in nurturing, faithful in witnessing, faithful in joining people where they are, and realizing that, hey, we were right there with you, but for the grace of God who has saved us. And we want them to know the hope that we have as well. This is how we as a church are going to go and share the gospel with those. So we're going to be encouraging us to go across the street to our neighbors, to have dinner with them, to get to know our coworkers, to go out to lunch with them, to have coffee with some friends or some family members, to invite some church friends over with you and meet these people. I mean, this is the kind of organic way that this is supposed to happen. It's not supposed to be an institutionalized approach, I don't believe anyway. It's supposed to be organic, us coming together and doing these things together. And when we're faithful to do this, God is in control and He's going to bless. I truly believe that. I truly believe that when we are faithful to be involved in sharing our faith, stepping out of that comfort zone, when being equipped in that, when we're faithful to be encouraging one another and growing out of our immaturity into Christ and His maturity, and we're faithful to be involved in public worship, I believe that God is going to bless us. It's not anything that is us doing this. Do you realize that? These are just us being obedient to the Word of God. This is just us humbly saying that we at Great Crossing Baptist Church don't have it all together, but we have a Savior who does, and we're submitting ourselves to Him and saying, God, this is your church. We are your people. We submit to you. Now, show us what to do. And God says, well, be faithful in worship, grow in Christian nurture, and witness. When we're faithful to do this, we'll let God take care of all the hard details that we spend too much time fretting about. God is in control of all things, and we need to submit ourselves to following after Him. So as we close this morning, there's two things that I want to share with you. One is just a fact of the matter that we need to confess that we've not been very good at this. I'll be the first in line to say I've not been good at always being engaged with worship or nurturing those Christians around me or faithful in witnessing. I've not been. So we need to confess that to God and the weight that sometimes brings upon us, the guilt and the shame that does bring upon us, but to know that there's forgiveness in Christ Jesus. And finally here, is to resolve or to confess together. And I hope that you will join me internally this morning by confessing these things and giving yourself to God first and foremost. And for some of you, this might be of just giving up yourself and following Christ. This might be the day of salvation for you, that you finally have come to see that your sin is keeping you from a loving relationship with the Lord, and God has come so that you could live. And by faith, that He can be your God and you could be His child. So by faith, this might be the day of surrender and realizing the grace and love that God is for you. And for others of us, these things might be for all of us as well today. So secondly, here's to commit to being in corporate worship on Sundays. So this is for you, and I'm committed too, not just because I'm paid to be here, but to be involved in this, okay? Committing ourselves. So commit to coming to corporate worship on Sundays. It is vitally important for you. Again, it's not for the numbers. It's not. I don't care about that. I don't think God cares about that. He cares about us coming together in worship of Him with a pure and sincere heart. Secondly here, committing ourselves to being generous with our resources. Again, realizing the generosity that God has given us in Christ Jesus. When that really takes root in your heart, you're going to want to give away everything. And I'm not just talking about finances here, okay? Yes, we're supposed to be generous in giving of our resources on Sundays through the faithful work of the church, but also just giving our time and our energy and helping those without, the lost and the least of these. Fourthly, here's to commit ourselves to personal worship, to prayer and to Bible study. So again, I ask you this morning, will you commit to these things through this year? Commit to them, saying, I am before God making this commitment right now and saying that I am going to do these things. Secondly, it's giving yourself to the local church. For some of you, this might be the call to join this church this morning. This might be the avenue that God is saying you need to step out and by faith join this congregation. Again, I meet every single person that visits this church. I explicitly tell them I'm not twisting anybody's arm to join this church. I'm not. That's between you and the Lord. But I'm here to receive you when you are ready. But some of you, I believe, that do need to make this covenant connection here to this church in order that you might flourish in Christ-likeness. Secondly here, to build deep personal friendships where you can be honest. It's a commitment to say, I'm going to step out of my comfort zone and I'm going to start going to lunch with people on Sundays. I'm going to have people over to my house. I'm just going to sit down and talk with the homebound members of our church family. This is a commitment to getting out of our comfort zone and being honest with individuals. Commit to coming to Sunday school. Commit to joining a small group. Committing to allowing yourself to be vulnerable and to join in and grow in Christ-likeness. And thirdly here, give yourself to the world. To commit to share your faith. It's a commitment. Is it hard? Yes. It's hard sometimes to share your faith. But again, Christ has given us the necessary tools and resources that we have in order to do these things. And we will try, as the leadership of this church, try our best in order to equip you to do the sharing of your faith. Secondly, here, to commit to bring others to worship with you. That's a simple thing, yet it's hard. It's hard sometimes to get somebody in the door that hasn't been to church in a long time or has been burned by a church. But to commit to praying for those and bringing them with you. And thirdly, here to pray for the lost around you, something that we often neglect. But Christ is working through the prayers of the saints to draw people to Himself. I truly believe that. So we need to be, as a church, faithful to pray for the lost around us. Now, those are a lot of commitment statements, aren't they? It's a lot. There's a lot there. But it's something for you to think over. I think it's been on the screen up there. To think over, to pray about, to see where you stand with the Lord and commit to these things. Because I think all of these things are generous in our giving of glory to God. When we're doing these things, God will receive the most glory. And let me tell you what. When people are giving glory to God, that's contagious. People like that. You know, other Christians are encouraged by people acting and living like this. And guess what? Our world sees this and they want to know, well, what is with that church? What is with those people? There's something different there. Their hope is different. They're giving large amounts of money to their church. They're going and sharing the gospel in unknown parts of the world. They're doing these things. What is that? Well, that's the hope that we have in Jesus. This is the initiative that I pray that we will push towards in this next year. So I hope you will join us in this as we move forward and pray where God would have you to serve in a part of this local congregation. Let's pray. Lord, we are humbled by this, Father, humbled to just be a part of the things that you are doing here in Scott County. God, we give you tremendous praise for the things that you have done this last year in 2019. God, we look expectantly to 2020 and to know, well, Lord, that we're already here, but also to know, God, that you're going to use us to be a light in our families, in our community, and even around the world. We thank you, God, for not leaving us. And we pray, God, that we would continually be in confession to you, continually leaning in on you, and trusting, God, that you have placed us here for this specific time and for this specific season. And God, we give you all the praise and the glory. And God, where we do not, we ask that you would forgive us and teach us, Father. Teach us your ways, that we might delight in your truth. Thank you, God, for this morning. Thank you for the worship that we have had. And I pray now, God, that you would continue to be with us as we take communion. In Christ's name, amen.